This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Fiqh class. We're continuing talking about the Book of Marriage, and we have reached an interesting topic, which is the option in marriage, or the choice to terminate the marriage. For the husband, he has the choice to divorce the wife without paying the mahr. That's what we mean by the option. Because the husband always have the option to divorce his wife. But he is liable for any consequences, any charges, anything. While in these cases, he is not liable for anything. And that's why we call it choice. It is for the husband in one of four conditions. If the husband finds the wife one of those things, then he has the choice to divorce her without paying the mahr. The first thing is insanity. Imagine you married a woman, and before marriage, she gave you a full, whole list of many things that she is studying, so and so, she is working for this company or whatever, and you thought that everything is okay. Then after 2 days, 3 days, 5 days of marriage, you happen to find that she is insane. She's mentally, she has problem. She's mentally sick. So what do you do? Of course, you will always have the option to keep her if you want to be patient, but you have the choice to divorce her. And you're not liable for the mahr. This is one, or the first case. Another case is leprosy. What do you mean by leprosy? And does it pertain to leprosy only, or it is also other things? We have a hadith and there is an incident during the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he married a woman, and they did not tell him, when he saw her body, she had big spot, white spot of leprosy. So he told her, go and follow your family. And that's an expression of divorce. And he told her family that you concealed on me. You did tadlis. So scholars derive that if the family, or if there was cheating, you have the option again to divorce her, and you are not liable. This is the second case. The third and the fourth case, they are very similar. Which is the inability to perform the sexual intercourse. Because this is the purpose of marriage, or one of the main things why the husband marries the wife. Now, marriage is a lifetime relationship. It includes many things. One of them is the sexual relation. So if you are unable to do this thing because of the wife, then you have the option to divorce without being liable for the mahr. Why we mention them both? Because there are two cases scholars mention. And actually, here's the thing. It is not only limited to these things. Nowadays, let's say a woman did not have leprosy, but she had something more horrible than leprosy. Wouldn't it be a reason to divorce her without being liable for the mahr? You should. They mention about the intercourse if the private part of the woman was blocked for any reason, whether for because of a bone or of flesh. These are reasons that you can divorce the wife without being liable for the mahr. This is from the husband's side. What about the wife's side? Does she have the option, or this option is only for the husband? What do you think? She does? Yes. The wife too, she has the choice. And they are the same four things. What are they? Insanity, if she is married and the husband was insane. Now, for the husband, it is easy. He would say, you're divorced and that's it. But for the wife, what does she do? She returns the dowry. Is that the option? That's khulla. That's not khulla. Here, she deserves the mahr because she did not do anything wrong from her part. The wrong was done from the husband. He deceived her. What do you think? Keep the money. Of course, she deserves the mahr. She deserves the mahr. If the husband accepted that, give her all her rights and divorces her, that's fine. If not, she goes to the judge. And here the judge commands the husband to pay her because she did not do anything wrong from her side. No, if the marriage was not consummated, we already spoke that she takes half the mahr. She doesn't take everything. Number two, again, leprosy or anything that is considered a defect in the husband.
Defect or deception.
But deception, scholars differed here. Any kind of deception or the deception that affects the marriage life. Let's say she deceived you. She said, I am 29. But you found out that she is 32. So there are like, we don't want to go to these details. We'll come to them later on, inshallah. Number three and four, again the same thing. If the husband, what if he did not have private part? This could happen. It is rare, but it could happen. Or he's unable to perform the sexual relation with the wife. But only for that reason, if everything was fine, because how do you know if you are able or not before marriage? You may not know. But once you are married and you find out that you are unable, then the judge here in this case, because he has to look at this case, if he finds out that there is something wrong with the husband, apparently there is nothing wrong but he's unable, he doesn't approve the divorce right away, he gives 1 year. Maybe this happened because of depression. Maybe there is psychological reason. So he's given 1 year. Why? They say within 1 year, because maybe some people, it is too hot and they are unable because of the weather, or it is too cold, or so on. They mention these reasons, so they don't issue the divorce right away. But in the other case, for the wife, There is no reason to wait. Now, this is about the choice in marriage. And we will move to another topic. Let's say you agreed on everything, and everything was fine. What's the second step? You finished the engagement, and you prepared for the nikah, and you did the nikah. What comes next? Before you start your marriage life. Walima. The walima. What's the ruling of the walima? What's the walima? Feast. Marriage feast. Mustahab. Why? Because you see it? Prophet, peace be upon him, did walima. After getting married, wasn't it a must? Because some scholars say it is a must. You remember the conditions of marriage? What did we say? The correct marriage has how many conditions? Five? Four. Is the walima one of them? It is not. So it is not a must. It is what? Recommended. Again, what is walima? Feast. What type of feast? Chicken, meat, lamb. It has to be lamb? No? Why? Some people think if there is no biryani, there is no marriage. Yeah, what if you are vegetarian? What do you think? Yeah, it is a feast of marriage, celebrating the marriage. That's the walima. Inviting people to celebrate the marriage. That's walima. Any type of food. What if there were only sweets? That is accepted. It doesn't have to be like specific type of food. Anything. That is walima. So, it is recommended. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ did it. He asked Abdurrahman bin Auf to do it when he was married. If you are invited to a walima, do you go or you don't go? What if you don't like to go? Yes. Answering the invitation is a must, unless there is a reason. If you know that you will go there and there is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't go. Or you know that those people invited only the high class people. They discriminated. And you don't want to go, you have the option. Or they invite you to a walima and it is in Los Angeles. And you need to afford the ticket to go there. Is it a must on you to purchase the ticket and go? No. But in general, if there is no reason, you have to go. Answering the walima is a must. Now, you started your marriage life. So, there is another thing, which is the rights of the husband and the wife. And that's by itself a very big topic. Because there are many things. What are the rights of the husband and what are the rights of the wife? There are researches and books about this. But if you wanted to summarize, and that's why I asked you, remember, if you wanted to mention the terms in the marriage contract, what do you mention? So now they live together. The problem here, many times, the marriage life starts and they are not clear exactly what should they do, What's her right? What is his right? Everyone wants to do the things that he likes. And he tend to neglect. Because the problem before that, yeah, I love you and we will do everything. And then once the marriage life starts, here comes the reality now. So many things change. So what do you do in this case? There are rights of the husband and there are rights of the wife. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala briefed that in one ayah. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And they have rights as they have obligations. بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. With that which is common, by the custom, customary things of people. Because what is custom here, or what is known here as a right of the husband, may not be known as a right of the husband in another place. Things change. So you can accommodate that according to Islam. But وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. Men have a higher level. What are the rights of the husband on the wife? Could you tell me like three things? Yes? Obedience. Not leaving the house without his permission. That's included in obedience. What else? Guarding his finances. What else? Yes, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that. Not to let anyone in the house without his permission or without he knows. Fine. These are few rights of the husband on the wife. What about the rights of the wife? What are her rights? Yes. Kind treatment. And that's very subjective. Because every husband would say, I am kind. No husband would come and say, oh, I am rude to my wife. Kind treatment. What else? Provision. Provision. Protection. All these are rights of the wife over the husband. So there are mutual rights and obligations on both sides. There will be problems in every marriage. There will be problems. Even the marriage of the Messenger ﷺ, there were some problems. So the question is how you can overcome these problems. Patience. You used patience, but it did not work. You have been patient for 1 year, 2 years. Yet she is still doing the same thing. You admonish. No result. Nothing changed. You refuse to lie in bed with her. Nothing changed. Take out the miswak. Then? Scholars here mention, after they mention the life during the marriage, if there is something wrong, they mentioned the topic of the rebellious wife, or what we call nushuz. Nushuz, disobedience. The disobedient wife, what do you do with her as a husband? What did Allah say in the Quran? Yes. Surah Al-Ma'idah, it is in Surah Al-Nisa. Yeah. Okay. You can hit her. What do you think? Can you hit your wife? Yes.
That's a huge miswak. huge one or small one. So it seems like you'll all go to jail. You want to hit your wife? What do you think? That's really, I mean, we don't have time to discuss everything, but it's very important. Some Muslims, I don't know for a reason or another, they are ashamed. They try to change the meaning of the ayah, or they try to be apologetic. Or what do you do? Now there is a situation. You have a problem. You want to solve it. What do you do? You start with admonishment, advice. فَعِظُوهُنْ That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. فَعِظُوهُنْ Advise them. You advise her. You remind her. I want, this is my right. Please do it. She refused. Next time you reminded her, she refused. There is no result. You move to the second thing. You sleep on the couch. She was very happy. Thank you. That's what I was waiting for long time ago.
Then you switch, you take the bed off the couch.
Then, if that did not work, then what do? You hit her. You hit her. You punch her, you prepare yourself, and you start beating. So here's the question. Does Islam allow the husband to hit his wife? Yes or no? If you say yes, you're wrong. If you say no, you're wrong also.
Yes.
You have to be careful how you state your answer.
Yes, you allow. Yes. Without being
allowed. Yes, with some conditions. Because here's the problem. Now, when people read the ayah, they come only to this thing, to this word, وَضْرِبُهُنْ Hit them. Oh, Islam allows me to hit my wife. But did you use first the two steps? If you did not use them, then you are not allowed. So it does not allow you. If you used those two steps and they did not work, yes, you can do this thing. وَضْرِبُهُنْ But again, what type of hitting? What if the husband hit his wife and he broke her arm? What if he did it? What do you do? Is it permissible? He's liable. And if she goes to the judge, this husband will be punished Islamically. Islam allowed for you to hit your wife, but not to destroy her. Because again, the point here behind hitting is what? Sometimes if you only touch the wife, if it's out of love, the same action, if it's out of love, your wife would love you and would like that. But if it's out of hatred, or you don't want this to happen, or you are angry and you did that, she may stop doing it. Now people say, what's the use if you talk to her and she did not listen? And if you deserted her, yet she did not listen. Then what's the use of miswak? That's there's no use. No, there is use. And it affects a lot. But maybe, it did not work. What do you do next? You try to hit her and nothing worked. What do? Then there is another resort. There is divorce. Before divorce, there is arbitration, counseling. The problem here, many times people jump and skip over those steps. You listen to a complaint from a husband coming to you and telling you, my wife is doing this and that. And the first question is, did you talk to her? No. Then why are you coming? Go and talk to her. Oh, nothing will change. How do you know? Did you do your job? Did you do your part? You talk to her. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. So counseling is wrong if it was done the first thing. And actually sometimes, like if I hear that my wife is complaining about me to someone else, I would be very offended if she did not tell me, because maybe I don't know that this thing, she doesn't like it. Unfortunately, some people, they don't keep any secret of their house. And everybody knows everything about their life. Any small problem happen, they go and they complain, or they talk to others. And that's not correct. First, you advise, you communicate, you talk. How do I know that this is wrong? How do I know that you don't like it? Then if this did not work, then there is the other thing. I tried to talk to you, nothing worked, so I won't sleep with you. Yet nothing happened. Then you can use it. Now here is the thing. When we say Islam allows the husband to hit his wife, allow does not mean you have to. Being able to do something does not mean you have to do it. Is the pilot, the captain of the plane, able to terminate the flight before they reach their destination and to stop in another place? Is he able or not? He is able. Why he is able? He's in control for security reasons, for something. Is he able to take you out of the plane? He is. But does that happen? It doesn't happen for no reason. So being able to do something does not mean you have to do it. Again, this ayah is in the Quran. وَضْرِبُهُنْ. Do not be apologetic. Yes, Islam allowed us. But here's the thing. That comes after two steps. And it's not any type of hitting. Not to bruise, not to injure. And actually, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا يَضْرِبُ كِرَامُكُمْ. The best of you, do not hit their wives. The Prophet ﷺ himself, he never hit any human being, let alone his wives. He never do that. So be sure that if the marriage life reached that stage, then it's very, very difficult to recover. But it is a solution. Because once Islam tells you that you can do it, you can. It doesn't tell you you have to do it. That will make things much, much better. Statistically, numbers talk. Numbers do not lie. Where is violence more? In the Muslim countries or here? Here? How do you know? Yes? How do you know? I have numbers. 31% of the Western woman, 31%, that's one out of three women. She was abused, physically or sexually, by her boyfriend, by her husband, or a relative. 31%. That's close to one per three women. That's the ratio here. In the country that forbids hitting. They say it's inhumane. That's fine. What's the humane? Do you see, from time to time, I happen to watch Core TV. Most of the crimes between husband and wife. Most of the crimes. You are not allowed to hit her, but you are killing her. It's amazing. Now there is a problem. So you tell me I cannot hit her. What should I do? Divorce her? You need to think, why Islam allowed this? There is something else at stake, which is more serious. The marriage life. Instead of destroying the wedlock, instead of destroying the family, instead of wasting the children that you have, yes, you use this right. But you use it wisely. What if it's the other way around? The husband is rebellious. How can the husband be rebellious? Who has the right to be obeyed? The husband or the wife? The husband. If the wife said something to the husband, does he have to do it? No. He should, but for peace of mind, right? He doesn't want his life to be... Yeah, be patient. So what if this wife married the husband, but she found out that it's not the best for her? She cannot stay with him. She's not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as she used to. She's not happy with her life. There are things that are going on. What should she do? Who has the right to divorce, the husband or the wife? What about the wife? She's locked in that marriage. She can do khul. That's an option for her. How she can do khul? Return the dowry. What if she doesn't want? Or what if the husband is not pleased? Yes. Yes, the Muslim judge or the ruler, he can do the khul on behalf of, like, instead of the husband. But not any case. I mean, this is very important because people think that khul is just like divorce. Any woman does not like her husband, she goes and she performs khul. Khul is not like divorce. And the judge will not say, oh yeah, you don't want him, you are divorced. They have to look through the case. Does she really have a sound reason? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that any woman that asks for divorce without a valid reason, she will not smell the fragrance of paradise. So it is a serious matter. One woman came to the Messenger ﷺ and she told the Prophet ﷺ that her husband, Thabit, she doesn't have a problem with him. He's righteous and anything. But she herself, she cannot live with him. She is doing things or she cannot do things that she used to do. So what did the Prophet ﷺ tell her? Do you return what he gave you, the garden that he gave you? أَتُرُدُّينَ عَلَيْهِ حَدِيقَتَهُ And she said yes. So the Prophet ﷺ initiated the divorce, which is the khul. So what's the definition? If you wanted to say, what's the definition of khul? What's the khul?
The option of the divorce given to a woman.
If we say divorce, divorce from the husband's side. But when we say it is option and it is from the woman's side, then it is khul. But it is incomplete. What kind of this option? What do you think? Try to find a suitable definition for khul. What is khul? It's very easy. مُفَارَقَةٌ عَلَى عِوَضٍ مَعْلُومٍ. In Arabic, we say it's separation on an agreed payment from the wife's side. Because she may return the entire mahr. He may tell her, I don't want anything. Or I want part of it. Or he may say, I want more. Can he ask more? He paid 1,000. And he says, I want 3,000. I won't let you. Well, there is difference of opinions. But he should not take more than what he paid. But unfortunately, sometimes the wife says, take everything, I just don't want you. This could happen. But is it permissible or not? We'll discuss it, inshallah, next year. Here, it is important, and that's the point of the entire class about marriage, after we discuss the essential things. What are the differences between husband and wife? And why do we have differences? Why, like when we say divorce is only the right of the husband? That's one of the differences. Can the wife say, I divorce you to the husband? No, she can say, of course, she can say with the mouth. But does this have any effect? No. Why? Why it is only the husband? Well, the answer is here. Look at the stability of the family. Any person can initiate the divorce. And imagine if you are in plane and anybody can open the door and jump. Imagine if everybody is ruling everybody. There has to be head of the house. That's one of the differences. Why? That's the analyzing that I'm looking for from you to do. Because that's the type of the questions that I may ask in the exam. Look through or compare the differences between the husband and wife. Does the wife pay or the husband has to pay? Who has to provide? Why? What are the consequences? Why the husband does not have to obey his wife, but the wife has to obey her husband? What's the right of the husband? What's the right of the wife? All these are important things that you need to look. I may ask you, give me 5 differences between the husband and the wife in terms of marriage. Who has to cook in the house, the husband or the wife? What do you think? Why you're laughing? Does the wife have to cook? If she doesn't cook, then what is she doing? Actually, there are details. And again, we are just taking the principles. Scholars say, especially in the Shafi'i school of thought, if she is not used to cook in her family's house, then she doesn't have to cook. If she is used to be served, the husband has to find a servant for her. That's how she is used to live. So, in terms of provision, it is the husband's side. What he's able to provide, that's what he is asked for. But in terms of service, it is according to the wife. What she is used to do, that's what she used to do, that's what she has to do in the husband's house. And again, these things, if you don't know them, there may be problems. Imagine you're driving a car and you don't know how to drive it. You may make an accident, you may do many things, and then eventually you may be able to drive it. But imagine if from the beginning they gave you courses and they taught you. And that's, subhanAllah, they give you seminars for many things, but marriage, this is a lifetime relationship. And you may not know many things about it. That's why we have many problems. I'll stop here. If you have any questions about, yes. Khula, a separation from the wife's side on an agreed payment.
Does the husband have to also pronounce in khula? Is he also
No. Maybe the husband, still, he's not pleased with it, but the judge is the one who initiates it. So, he doesn't have to pronounce it. Any other questions? Do you have questions about hitting the wife? What's the best? Yeah.
What are the valid reasons?
What do you mean? If the wife has a valid reason, like this husband is not treating her well, but she cannot prove it, like, or to other people maybe that's not a bad thing, but to her, or she's unable to do things that she's used to do that are better for her, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading Quran more, or she cannot stand living with him. There is something, maybe she cannot express it, but she is on him.
What about the husband he has 2 wives, and he has told his second wife that he can afford to provide for her.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, he cannot afford to provide for her.
Actually, provision, if the husband is unable to provide for the wife, this is one of the options that she can...
And in terms of time sharing, if he does not share his time before he
leaves. Yeah, the time sharing. These are the rights of... So he's abusing his rights, or he's not doing right of the wife.
This allows her
to... Yeah. Yes. Okay. What? Yeah, usually even if you are in charge, you have to listen from both sides. It's very dangerous in the because you hear if the one who comes to you and he tells you all sorts of things and you think that the other side is horrible. But you have to listen to the other side because you hear many more other things. Yes.
Do you repeat the things about the servant of the wife?
Why? I'm afraid this will complicate the relationship. No, the serving of the wife, she doesn't have to do things she is not doing in her family's house. Like, if in her family, they used to cook for her. And that's the custom in her family. That whoever married, there is a cook provided. So she doesn't have to cook. If she's served, she has a servant in her family. Her family provided servant. She deserves a servant when she's married. In terms of rights, in terms of service, the judge or anyone who looks, oversees the marriage life, he looks to the wife's side. In terms of provision, like if the wife said, in my father's house, he used to give me $1,000. That's my pocket money. Now my husband is giving me only 500. I want 1,000. So he looks at the husband's capability, not the wife's family. In terms of provision, it is according to the husband's ability. In terms of service, according to the wife's family, the wife and what she is used to do. If the custom is American, it doesn't matter. Again, you have to go through these rules. That's what I mentioned. Unless there is something un-Islamic, then we don't say, the wife is used to do this. She is used to wake up every day at 9 a.m., not before that. So she misses the subh prayer. And we say the husband cannot wake her up.
And of course, all these there are compromises in the contract. You can up to waive, our custom is served, but I waive.
Of course. I mean, of course. If the wife says, I will do this, I will do that, there are things implied. You don't have to mention them. Now, the wife may say, I used not to cook at my house. But it is known that whoever is married, they have to cook. So she has to cook. She cannot say, I used not to cook. Yes. No, before marriage she doesn't need to. What do you mean? That's rare to happen. How could it happen? Because khul means she doesn't want him anymore.
So
Yeah, she just wanted, yeah, she just returns and that's it. Because marriage after, even if the marriage was not consummated, it's still considered marriage. But it's much easier than if it was consummated. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, I have a question regarding the difference between husband and wife pertaining to how you're going to ask it on the exam. So say you say, tell me the differences between husband and wife, and we say that the husband is able to leave the house without permission as the wife needs to stay in the house with permission, or the husband provides for the family while the wife stays home and takes care of the children in his house. Is that a difference that you would accept?
Yeah, that's a difference. That's a valid difference. Does the husband have to tell his wife every time, please allow for me, I'm going? Why? Because it is known that the nature of the marriage life, that the husband works. So he has to go. But courtesy, he should tell his wife where he's going. He doesn't have to tell her. Prophet ﷺ did not report to his wife every time he came where he was. But the wife, if she wanted to go, she needs the permission of the husband. That's a valid difference. And by the way, I don't like this type of questions if you're concerned only about the exam. Knowledge should be your main goal, not the exam. But I understand, I mean for the exam. That's it? Okay, then inshallah we will stop here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.